Despite the infinitesimal chance that the average American will be the victim of a terrorist attack, Osama bin Laden and the global war on terror have turned our society upside down and inside out. We've started two wars that we can't seem to end, in which thousands of people are dying. The United States has committed what many see as war crimes and human rights abuses. By the fall of 2006, more Americans had died fighting the war on terror in Afghanistan and Iraq than were killed by terrorists from 1995 to 2005. So why, if the threat is so exaggerated, do we feel so much dread? Partly because we're told to, over and over and over. We live in what sociologists call a culture of fear, in which the media, the government, and various special interest groups keep us in a constant state of anxiety about wave after wave of supposed new threats to our health and well-being. Since Machiavelli's time, politicians have known how to use fear to keep people distracted, cowed, and obedient. Bureaucrats use it to justify their budgets and their jobs. TV news people use fear as a way to keep our eyes glued to the screen. And special interest groups use it to keep our donations pouring in. But since September 11th, the government hasn't just kept us in a panic. The government itself has been in a panic. In 2002, the Bush administration created the Department of Homeland Security, whose very name invokes insecurity, not to mention the odd sound of that word, homeland. The DHS is nothing but a massive restructuring of the same old federal bureaucracy. It's an interdepartmental Frankenstein stitched together from existing agencies, including Customs, the Immigration and Naturalization Service, FEMA, and various parts of the FBI, the Coast Guard, the Secret Service, and the Departments of Defense, Transportation, Energy, and Agriculture. With an annual budget upwards of $40 billion, the DHS defends us from terrorists, illegal aliens, drug smugglers, hurricanes, earthquakes, and epidemics. It guards our seaports and coastlines, our farms and reservoirs, and protects us in cyberspace. The DHS spends about $5 billion a year screening us at airports. But the reality, as the Atlantic Monthly noted, is that it's largely for show. The inspection process is mostly security theater to make people feel safe about flying, says John Mueller, a political scientist at Ohio State. Only it doesn't make us feel safer, does it? Take off your shoes! Empty that baby bottle! At Dulles Airport, security personnel ordered a woman to peel her banana. Banana bombs! That nursing mother and her child in the seat next to you could be terrorists. She could be carrying liquid explosives in her breasts. How do you know she isn't? Don't rough her up when you arrest her. She might explode. You think I'm joking? I met a woman who was ordered by an inspector at Newark International Airport to remove the gel inserts from her push-up bra. Just because she's a member of the IBTC, that's the itty-bitty-titty committee for those of you who aren't or don't act like you're 12, she's a terrorist threat. You'd never see Pamela Anderson getting stopped. Why? Because Pamela Anderson loves freedom, 36D times more than that other girl. These were the thoughts that were running through my head as I sat in front of the TV in January 2006. I flipped through the news channels, hearing all about the dread and despair, thinking about how I got cheated out of the relief I felt entitled to when the Cold War ended. Who was to blame for all this fear? Whom did I have to smack to get some peace around here? And on the news, there he was, the man anointed as the father of all our fears these days, the man who torments and inspires millions around the world from an undisclosed location that even Dick Cheney can't find from his undisclosed location, the most wanted man on the planet, Osama bin Laden. This was the guy who wrecked the carefree, post-communist party the 21st century was supposed to be. The one guy who screwed it all up for the rest of us. If this guy is such a big deal, why haven't we caught him? Why haven't we found him? Is he a 9-foot-tall ninja with mind control powers? Despite all the FaceTime he got in the media, I bet most Americans really don't know much about Osama bin Laden. Be honest. Would you pick him as a category on Jeopardy? He's the most wanted man on Earth, the man who single-handedly terrorized the entire United States, and I bet most of us know more about Britney Spears than we do about bin Laden. Where did he come from? Where did he get his ideas? Why did he decide to start Al-Qaeda? Why did he make us his enemy? Was he married? Did he have kids? Did they run and hug him when he came home to the cave after a hard day of global jihadism? And what was he doing living in a cave anyway? Wasn't he like a multimillionaire? What drove him to give up the cushy life in favor of waging jihad? For that matter, what the hell is a jihad? What's a fatwa? What do other Muslims think of Osama? Do they all hate us, or is it just a lunatic fringe? I wanted to know, and I really wanted to know how we got to this point where the United States, one of the most revered and respected countries around, is now one of the most hated on earth. I needed some answers, and I figured other people might too. So there it was. At that moment, in January of 2006, I decided that I would take my complete lack of knowledge, experience, or expertise and put it to good use by looking for the most wanted and most dangerous man on earth. And to sniff him out, I thought I had to try to figure him out, like Sherlock Holmes getting inside Moriarty's head, or that chick in Profiler. Maybe I could fix this mess. Maybe not. Maybe he'd agree to a mano-a-mano cage match to settle this thing forever. Maybe not. At the very least, I'd try to tackle the one question no one else could answer. Where in the world is Osama bin Laden?